In your Bibles, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we'll be reading verse number 17. I'll read a few verses to you, down to verse 26, and take our text today. Luke chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, "It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man, which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. I love that last phrase of verse 26. It says, We have seen strange things today. And I want to preach the message titled that, We Have Seen Strange Things Today. In this passage of Scripture, there are some strange things that happen, strange to our culture, strange to the norm, but some things I think that should be exalted, looked at, planned for, hoped for, and it should be our goal. We have seen some strange things today, and I'll share with you a few things that I think that are kind of strange, but very important and very right. We've seen strange things today. Let's look at this text. We'll begin in verse 17, and we have the setting. The Bible says it came to pass on a certain day. So we have a certain day that he was teaching. Jesus was teaching. He makes a big deal in his ministry on teaching. You'll find Jesus teaching a lot more than you'll find Jesus healing. And the reason for that is his healing was a temporary work. His teaching truth was something that helped people and generations to come. Even today, we're gleaning and we're gathering and we have great hope because of the Word of God. And so Jesus is teaching. He is gathered teaching on a certain day. And the Bible says there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Now, the Pharisees was a group of people. They were leaders among the Jewish community and the Jewish faith. And the doctors of the law were similar. They would have been your scribes. And so you have the Pharisees, the doctors of the law. You've got scribes. And you've got these folks. And when I think of them, I can't help but think of them, how they're portrayed throughout the whole New Testament. The Pharisees were constantly giving Jesus a hard time. They were religious zealots. They were so stuck in their Old Testament faith that when the very Messiah, Jesus, comes on the scene, they can't even identify him. As a matter of fact, they give Jesus a hard time for his whole ministry. But there's something interesting happening right here because Jesus on a certain day is teaching. There's a great group of Pharisees and doctors of the law gathered together, sitting by, listening. And the Bible says, it continues in verse number 7, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. And we see a great group of these guys, these doctors of the law, Pharisees from all over the area, gathered together. And here's what the Bible says next. I want you to see, it's important. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. I think this is so important. Now, as Jesus' ministry progresses, the scribes and the Pharisees, as a group and as a whole, as a big number of them, are going to be the very clear enemies of the work of Jesus. But at this moment, and throughout His whole ministry, and even today, the Lord Jesus wants to save people who are far away from Him. But at this moment, there's an emphasis that the Lord wants to see these Pharisees and doctors of the law healed. He wants to help them. He wants to change their lives. And He can. I think ultimately, in a lot of the cases on this particular day, He does. And I think there's Pharisees and doctors of the law that go to all these areas that are represented, every area in Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. I think God's going to do a great work here. And He's going to use some interesting folks to accomplish that task. The next part of the story is the most famous part of the story because you've got a man that is paralyzed. And this paralyzed man has not the ability to get to Jesus on his own. And he's found he's got four other friends. In another one of the parallel scriptures, it tells us that he was born of four. He was carried by four people. And so you've got a man that's paralyzed, can't get to Jesus on his own, and you've got four faithful friends who are going to carry him to Jesus. And the story's fun. I'm going to try to tell it briefly, and then I want to share the message. These four guys take one man that's paralyzed, five of them total, and they go to the place where Jesus is teaching. There's a great multitude of people, so many people there that they can't get through the door. And these guys, I like their spirit. They have a can-do spirit. We're going to get this done. And they say, it's okay. If we can't go through the door, we'll go through the ceiling. I like it. They take the man on the bed to the ceiling. And they pull back that thatch, most likely thatch roof. And these four men lower the paralyzed man on his bed down in front of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. Jesus looks at the man and He says, your sins are forgiven you. It's a sweet moment. It's awesome. Your sins are forgiven you. But guess what happens? The Pharisees in the room, they act like true Pharisees. The scribes in the room act like true scribes. They're critics. And they say to Jesus, they say, whoa, you're a blasphemer. Who has the power to forgive sins other than God? And Jesus said, is it easier to say you're forgiven or to say take up your bed and walk? Basically, when Jesus says that, He's got this idea, look, neither one of those is very hard for me. He's not being a smart aleck, but he said neither one of those is very hard. He says, I can say your sins are forgiven and I can say take up your bed and walk. I can do both. And so Jesus looks at those Pharisees, He says, just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins. He looks at the man that's paralyzed, that's been lowered down there by his friends. He looks at the man, He says, take up your bed and walk. The man gathered his stuff, the Bible says, and he went off to his house glorifying God. It's sweet. God healed him. But I want you to know something. God did a work that's far greater than healing the legs that hadn't moved for a while. The work that God did in his heart was the most important work. That man left there changed. And ultimately, I believe, because of the work that God did in that man's body and heart, I believe there were a group of Pharisees that left that place believing that Jesus was the Christ. Oh, I love this story. It's kind of fun because the story comes to a sudden halt. And all the Bible has to say about it is this. A group of folks said, wow, we've seen strange things today. I think it's good what's happened here. Let's consider a few things this morning. Number one, five faith-filled friends. How do you like that? Five faithful friends. Let's look at these five faithful friends. We meet these guys first, and I'm encouraged by them. The Bible says in verse number 18 about these five faithful friends, the Bible says, behold, men brought in a bed, a man, which was taken with a palsy, And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Now, first, I want to zero in on the man that was sick with a palsy. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. He was in a bad way. And then we see this guy, and what this guy needs is he needs Jesus. We find out soon that he needs Jesus for more than just the healing of his body. He needs Jesus to heal his soul and forgive his sins. But what this man needs is Jesus. And so I'm so encouraged to watch these four faithful friends beside the man that needs Jesus. You know what they say? He can't get to Jesus on his own. And we have situations like this where he may not even know he needs to get to Jesus. But these four other guys said, you know what? We see a man that needs Jesus, and we'll do what is necessary to get him to Jesus. It's a sweet story, a beautiful picture. Because those four guys, they get him on his bed. They get all each of them a corner of the bed, and they take him to Jesus. It's a sweet thing. They take him to Jesus. Do you know that it should be in the heart of every saved person to bring people to Jesus? I mean, bring people to Jesus in the sense that we share with them the gospel and they get saved. But we should be determined, however God will allow us, with whatever means possible, to take people to Jesus. You know, there's multitudes of people who need their sins forgiven, and Jesus is the only place they can get that help. There are homes and families with great struggles, and they need Jesus. Jesus is the only place they can get that help. You have a lot of folks who can't get there on their own. A lot of us don't even know that's what they need. But if Jesus has changed your life, you should know in your heart that Jesus is the hope for all people. And these four guys, they take the man that needs Jesus. And they do what they have to do to get him there. I like their ingenuity. We'll look at the text, verse number 18 again. The Bible says that the men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy. And the Bible says they sought means to bring him in. You see that phrase? They sought means to bring him in. Now, here's what they did. They said, look, we're going to have to figure out how to get him to church. We're going to have to figure out how to get him in the presence of Jesus. And so they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. The Bible says, verse 19, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, I'm watching these guys, and so here's what they did. They said, first of all, how are we going to get him there? They said, let's put him on this bed, and all of us can carry him. Each of us get a corner, and we can carry him, and we'll carry him to Jesus. Then, as they make their way to Jesus, guess what happens? When they get to the place where Jesus is teaching, the door is blocked with people. The multitude is so great that they can't get him in. So what do? I know what they do. They get upset because their seat was taken where Jesus normally taught. They got upset because their parking spot was taken and they couldn't get in comfortably like they normally got in. Now, here's what happened. When the door was blocked, the seats were taken, they said, you know what? To the roof. I love that spirit. I love that spirit. I'll just tell you, I like to be comfortable. I like to have things my way. I really do. But you know what I found out a long time ago? I don't always get my way. As a matter of fact, most of the time, I don't get my way. And almost everything I've ever done that was worth doing involved a certain level of discomfort. And you know what these guys did? They said, look, we can't get him there. They didn't throw up their hands. They didn't get mad because things weren't going their way. They didn't get mad because they didn't get the preferential treatment they thought they should have. They didn't get upset. They didn't get worked up. They said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to the roof. I can't imagine being in that setting. Can you imagine sitting there? And I actually, in my mind's eye, I have a mental image of this Bible story. I guess at one point, one of my Sunday school teachers must have put a flannel graph picture up of this setting, because I see it still to this day. But I see them sitting in this meeting room, and I see Jesus sitting and teaching. And I can just imagine Jesus right in the middle of point number 4. And all of a sudden, dust starts falling out of the ceiling. Now, they're going to drop this man right at Jesus' feet. Dust starts falling out of the ceiling. And there's a ruckus and there's a ruffling. And the next thing you know, the sun starts to shine through. And if you think that's bad, not only is the sun shining through, there's enough sun shining through now, you can put a whole man through there. And sure enough, here in a second, here comes a whole man. And his friends are on the roof dropping him down in there. I can only imagine that there were folks in the congregation that were beginning to get upset, because there's no way that you can keep preaching while some man is being dropped down into the room. You just got to stop. I mean, Jesus is smart. You just got to stop. I'm sure folks are like, this is so rude. If he heals somebody, we're going to be late for lunch. But I'm looking at four guys up on the roof that understand something. It's not about me being comfortable. It's not about things being perfectly in order. It's not about doing things the way we've always done things. There's four men on the roof who say, this man needs Jesus. And we'll do what we need to do to get him there. I love that spirit. I love that spirit. I want to have that spirit. I want to be that kind of friend. There are five faith-filled friends. One of them happens to be a paralytic. And God is going to work and move in a mighty way. They weren't deterred by the multitude. They went to the housetop. They lowered him through the roof. And look what the Bible says in verse 20. In verse 20, the scripture says this, and when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I think this is kind of interesting. What did Jesus see? Jesus saw their faith. Now, I know that we can see acts of faith. It was an act of faith to take the roof loose and lower this man. But God saw something that you and I can't see. The Lord Jesus saw their faith. Jesus was pleased by their faith. Jesus was pleased that these folks knew if he could get this man to Jesus, Jesus will help him. The older I get, the more situations I encounter that I know that I don't have the answers for. There are moments that bothers me because I want to be the smart one. Most of the time, I'm very thankful when I come to a situation that's bigger than me. Actually, all of them are. I come to a situation that's bigger than me, and I need Jesus. I'm thankful that I can say, here, Lord, I've done what I can. You do the rest. These four guys that lowered the fifth man down, they could carry the bed. They could take off the roof. They could lower the man to Jesus. But there were two things that were completely out of their league. They couldn't forgive the man of his sins. And they couldn't heal him of his disease. But Jesus could. And you know what God wants us to do? God doesn't want us to be healers. God doesn't want us to be savers. God wants us to be faithful servants and friends and bring people and point people to Jesus and say, look, I can't help you, but Jesus can. These guys did exactly what they ought to do. And it's a strange thing, but it's good when groups of people decide we are going to bring people to Jesus. He said, we've seen some strange things today. The first group was five faith-filled friends. Number two, skeptical scribes and Pharisees. Not only were they skeptical scribes and Pharisees, but they were skeptical scribes and Pharisees that Jesus wanted to save. Let's look at these guys. The Bible says in verse 17, I've already showed you this, but let's look at it one more time, that we have this great group of Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were coming out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So we've got this great group of Pharisees, the doctors of the law, and the Bible already says that God has an intention. His intention is to heal them, to help them. But let me show you something that happens. In this story, the Pharisees and scribes begin to act like Pharisees and scribes. This man is lowered down into their presence. Jesus looks at him. He's been teaching. He looks at the man. He says, son, man, your sins are forgiven you. And immediately the scribes and Pharisees, they get their feathers ruffled and they get upset. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. The scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You can just expect there are some people, no matter how awesome the effort, no matter how good the work that God's doing is, you can just about guarantee you there's going to be some knot on a log that sits in the congregation that is a skeptic, a cynic, and not very nice. It happens. Now, this is fun. Charles Spurgeon had something really, I think, a blessing to say about this situation. Here you've got these guys with such great faith, trusting the Lord, bringing people to Jesus. This is an exciting moment. I mean, somebody just came through the ceiling. And then you've got these skeptics. And Charles Spurgeon said, well, at least they were there to hear the word. I think that's so good. Now, when I look at this and I see the skeptical scribes and Pharisees, the first thing I want to remind you of is you and I, we all have a tendency to be like this. We all have a tendency to be gripers, complainers, skeptics, cynics. You ever been around somebody, no matter how good something's going, they're going to find the one little tiny infinitesimal thing that's wrong and bad, and they're going to make a big deal about that. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you know that this is the type of person that no matter what I say, as good as I try to say, as kind as I try to be, they're going to take something I said and they're going to use it and try to use it against me. Have you ever been around that person? Don't be that person. But the second thing I want to remind you of, is that on this particular day, those particular people were present. And Jesus had a burden on this day that those people would be healed, that they would be forgiven of their sins, that they would be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so two things I want to remind you of. Number one, don't be a skeptical, cynical Pharisee. But number two, when you begin to identify them among you, be patient, be gracious, be kind, be forgiving, be merciful. Because Jesus died on the cross for them too. God wants to have the right spirit. You see, it's a strange thing to have to be kind to people who aren't kind back. That's what the Lord wants us to do. These folks showed up on this particular day and Jesus wanted to heal them. As skeptical and rotten as they were, God help us have that spirit. We've seen strange things today. Five faith-filled friends. Number two, skeptical scribes that Jesus wanted to heal. And finally, number three, and most important, we see a sin-forgiving Savior. I want to show you the primary emphasis of this passage of Scripture. We'll look at Jesus. In verse 17, I've already told you about this, but Jesus is teaching. So much of the work that Jesus did was teaching. I want to remind you that the teaching of the Word of God is of utmost and utter importance to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Word must be taught and learned. If you get to the place where you don't feel like you need to learn anything more from God's Word, you're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. I know this from experience that the longer I study and preach the Word, the richer it is. Teaching the Word is of utmost importance to the Lord. He's teaching, He's teaching, He's teaching, He's teaching. In verse number 20, look what the Bible says. Jesus saw their faith. What is it that moved Jesus to action? Faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now look, we should be people of faith. Now, God grants and gives us faith. And when you go to God looking for faith, God will give you greater faith. But we need to be people of faith. We need to be trusting the Lord. Instead this week of reacting in fear and anger because things aren't going your way, how about this? Say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you with it. And you might have to remind yourself every 5 minutes that you're trusting God with this. But you trust the Lord. You trust the Lord. You do what's right and righteous and holy. And act in faith, believing. And you're going to find out that God responds to faith. He loves it when we trust Him. And I want you to know you can trust Him. Jesus responds to faith. God's got this. You've got this, Lord. I'm trusting you. And Lord, whatever you want, so be it. We see Jesus teaching. We see Jesus' emphasis on faith. And in verse 20, I want you to see what He says to the man. He said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, this kind of sets the scribes and Pharisees back. One, it sets them back because they feel like only God has the right to forgive sins. Joke's on them. Jesus is God. And He can forgive sins. But why is Jesus' primary purpose and goal to forgive this man of his sins before He heals this man of his paralysis? Why? Let's talk about it this way. This man, on this particular day, we see strange things because this man is lowered in on a bed because he can't walk. In just a few minutes, he's going to gather up his bed in his arms and all of his things, and he's going to carry it out healed. But let me ask you something. What happened to that man? The Bible doesn't tell us what happened to that man, but I can guarantee you that sometime down the road, there was a funeral for the paralytic man that was healed on this particular day. Look, it's been over 2,000 years. That man's dead. Something else, it may have not been paralysis or the side effects of paralysis that killed him, but eventually something happened and that man died. Death is almost batting 1,000. Enoch, Jesus, and Elijah, the only ones I know that beat it. And God took them. Death's a batting almost 1,000. And so Jesus does something that's more important than healing a man's outside. He heals the man's inside. You see, it's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that condemns us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Jesus, He is not acting in some type of religious foolishness by looking at a man and saying, man, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus is showing the ultimate priority. That He's preparing this man not for life and death only, but for life and death and eternity. Because Jesus forgave that man his sins, I want you to know something. In body, he's been dead for a long time. But his soul and spirit has been with Jesus for more than 2,000 years. Amen. Jesus has an eternal perspective that we need to gain and have. Jesus said, look, your sins are forgiven you. The Bible says in verse 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, I think that's pretty important to note. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He's the God-man. Of course He knew what they were thinking. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Why are you questioning me in your hearts? What are you trying to reason up? What are you trying to figure out? And Jesus says in verse 23, He says, whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk? He says like this, He says, what do you think would be easier for me to do? Say this man, your sins are forgiven, or to rise up and walk? And the answer to that question is, Jesus has no problem doing either. He's the God-man. But He did do what was most important first. The Bible says in verse number 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He says, look, just so you'll know that I indeed have power to forgive sins, He says, basically, he says, watch this. The Bible says, he says unto the sick of the palsy, he says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. What's he do? He says to the Pharisees, he says, just so you know that I can forgive your sins and his sins and their sins. Just so you know that I can do the work of God to forgive sins and make people righteous before a holy God. Just so you know I can do what I've come to do. He said, I'll prove it with this little miracle that makes a little difference. He says, sir, take up your bed and walk. You see, Jesus did the work of healing in order to show that he could do the greatest work of forgiving. It's a wonderful thing. See, we all live such temporary lives. We think everything depends on what's going on in life. And look, life is good. Life is short. We should do everything we can. And we should enjoy life to its fullest. I'm for all those things. But you can never begin to enjoy life until you've got a grip on eternity. And the way you get a grip on eternity is you make Jesus your Savior. And you trust in Him and Him only. You make Jesus your Savior and you secure your eternity with the forgiveness of sin through faith in Christ. And then you can begin to live. You see, Jesus made the point and made it right. A lot of folks think that's strange. The healing of the body must be more important than the healing. No. The healing of your soul is the most important thing that can ever happen to you. We've seen strange things today. Strange things are this. Five faith-filled friends. I wonder, are you doing what you can to bring people to Jesus? I hope you will. We've seen strange things as skeptical scribes and Pharisees, but Jesus wanted to heal them. Are you the skeptic? Don't be that person. And if you're around the skeptic, you love them. Show them the love of Jesus. You pray for them. Try to help them. Finally, most important, we've seen strange things today, a sin-forgiving Savior. Oh, it's wonderful. Jesus has made it possible we can have everlasting life. If you're here and you've never been saved, oh, I pray that today's the day that you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus. I pray you'll let God change your life for His glory. He wants to.